Let's review where we stand and where we're heading today. Okay, we saw on Friday, for those lucky enough to hear my voice on Friday, we saw the first two exceptions to the Patur Shein Veregel and Rishus HaRabim. The exception of Ilfa and the exception of Rav Hoshaya. Ilfa talked about Algav Chavrata, Rav Hoshaya talked about Kufetzes, and Rav interpreted that way. And the Gemara wanted to prove Ilfa from Kufaso, and the Gemara was Dalcha, you can't prove Ilfa from Kufaso, because Kufaso could be explained, as Rav explained, as Kufesis. So essentially we had two models for Shein and Regel being Chayiv in Rishus, or the Behemah being Chayiv in Rishus HaRabim. This came out of nowhere, right? Didn't really appear in the Mishnah. It was just a standalone halacha that Ilfa quoted, and a couple of prices. We saw three basic approaches to that sukkah. One was Rashi. Rashi felt that Agav Chavrata, or excuse me, Kofetzes, was chayy because it's carried. So according to Rashi, we don't really have any chiddush in Shein Veregel. An animal that jumps, we'll talk about this today, is considered keren. That's why you're chayy. And when Rav Hoshaya said Kofetzes is chayy, he meant chatzi nezek. We don't really know how Rashi interpreted Ilfa, but it sounds in the Baal Hamor that although you could interpret Rav Hoshaya that Kofetzes is keren, Agav Chavrata is some form of Rishus HaNizik. We don't know how it's a Rishus HaNizik, but you'd be Chayiv Nesek Shalim by Agav Chavrata. That's how the Baal Hamor separated between Kofetzes, which is Chatzin Nesek Keren, and Agav Chavrata, which is a new form of a Chatzar Nizik. Now, how do you turn the back of an animal to a Chatzar Nizik? We saw two strategies. We saw the Rashba, we saw the Rush. The Rashba said that there are certain quasi-spaces in Rishus HaRabim that are apart and distinct, that have temporary utility that can be called a Rishus HaNizik for Shein Veregel. For example, an itztaba, the platform. For example, the back of your animal. For example, your kupa, the basket that you're holding. So these are places which may not be called Rishus HaNiyachid for Shabbos, excuse me, but are called Rishus HaNizik for Shein and Veregel. The Rush said it has nothing to do with a distinct place. It just has to do with a very delicate balance between Mazik and Nizik. And the Nizik can put his peros anywhere that the Mazik's animals can't naturally get to them. And therefore, on the back of an animal, according to Ilfa, the Nizik is allowed to put the peros. And once the Nizik is allowed to put the peros, that becomes a Chatzar Nizik, and you'd be Chayiv. Whereas according to Rav Hoshaya, maybe not the back of an animal, but certainly a high area that the animal can't reach, the Nizik can place his peros there, and that would be called Rishus HaNizik. Hatzara Shava between the Rashba and the Rush, that for Dinei Shein Veregel, there is a status of Rishus HaNizik that doesn't accord with normal dimensions of Rishus HaYachid. Namely, according to the Rashba, temporary utility. According to the Rush, places that the Mazik can't reach and can't access. And therefore, the back of an animal or a high place would be considered Rishus HaNizik, and you'd be Chayiv for Shein Veregel. The third option we saw was the Ramban. The Ramban said that, at least according to Ilfa, when one animal grabs food from the back of another animal, that's not normal eating, that's part of walking. And when the Torah potters Shein Veregel and Rishus HaRabim, it only potters normal eating, that's part of walking. Normal eating, that's part of walking. Namely, the Ramban adopts the Rif in explaining Ilfa. Ilfa is not rezoning Rishus HaYachid. Ilfa is telling us that even though it is Rishus HaRabim, you'd still be Chayiv. Because Rishus HaRabim isn't a blanket Ptur. Only normal eating, that's part of the gate of the animal. Namely, the Ramban adopts the Rif's version of Orche. He applies it very, very specifically, not just Orche. Orche doesn't mean just things that are expected or Patur in Rishus HaRabim. But in order to be Patur in Rishus HaRabim, it has to be expected and part of the animal walking. Even if it's expected, but it's not part of the animal walking, you'd be chayiv, at least according to Ilfa. In terms of understanding Rav Hoshaya, the Ramban said, look for Shmuel, so we'll explain Shmuel today. Okay, are there any questions before we move forward? So we're trying to build our model of Shein Veregel, and why you're chayiv in Rishus HaYachid, why you're pater in Rishus HaRabim. So far, we haven't really changed that many models. We have our two classic models. Model number one, it has to do with where you are. We just have to define where you are a little bit imaginatively. You can't define where you are based on classic Rishus HaYachids. You have to define it based on temporary usage according to the Rashba. You have to define it based on accessibility. If the animal can access it, it's Rishus HaRabim. If the animal can't access it, it's a place for Peros, it's Rishus HaYachid. But modularly, conceptually, the Chiyuv and the Patur still depends on where you are. Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. We just have to define Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim differently. The second model we have is it really doesn't depend on where you are. It depends on whether the animal is acting normally. If the animal is acting normally, you're pater. If the animal is acting abnormally, you're chayef. Not abnormally, Karen-wise, but non-orchei normally. Now, normally, or typically, when an animal goes into Rishus HaYachid, that's not orchei. It's not classic and typical for animals to run into Rishus HaYachid. But there could be cases in Rishus HaRabim where it's also atypical. It's not classic orchei. Namely, according to the Ramban, everyone look at me, stretching the neck. That's Rishus HaRabim, but it's not considered normal, classic Shein. So far, we haven't really broken out of our two categories. We had these two categories before the sugya began. We saw already in the Rif, we talked about Eitz Arach. We're just developing these two categories. Spoiler alert, we're not really going to break out of it today. We may break out of it towards the end of Shia. But that's the drama of the sugya. Is the Gemara maintaining these two models, and we're just working within these models? Or we'll reach a Rishon, or we'll reach a statement, they'll say, you know what, evidently there has to be some new way to understand the Chiyuv and Rishus HaYachid versus the Ptur and Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so again, I'm trying to teach you, as we've done all year, to deal with the nitty-gritty of a sugya, but not to lose sight of the larger questions. The nitty-gritty of a sugya is how to explain Olfan of Oshaya, how to explain Rav and Shmuel, but the larger question is, within which model of Shein Veregel are these statements being made? And are these distinctions being drawn? So always have that top-bottom, always have those layers in mind. Larger questions, smaller questions. Smaller questions, larger questions. Okay, so this is what we saw on Friday. We're going to continue that question with a sugya that's a little bit more classic. What I mean is classic is, Ilfa and Rav Oshaya talked about crazy cases. Right? They spun new conceptualizations. We'll go back to the Gemara on Daf Chaf and Mid Aleph. I'm skipping to Chaf Aleph and Mid Aleph. We'll go back to Daf Chaf and talk about Misgalgel. But right now, I want you to see Ilfa and Rav Hoshaya parallel to Rav and Shmuel as the Ramban saw them as identical. Okay, so that's why we're learning Rav and Shmuel and Chaf Aleph, and we're skipping one case on Daf Chaf, which we'll get back to. Rav and Shmuel are talking about a much more classic case. They're not talking about animals that stretch their necks on other animals or animals that jump. Talking about animals, and instead of eating from Rishus HaRabim, Pater, or eating from Rishus HaYachid, Chayev, they eat from this no man's land, this boundary called Tzidi HaRachava. Places that are marginal, right on the side of Rishus HaYachid. So Rav and Shmuel are talking about much more subtle cases. Elfan of Ashaya gave very broad and dramatic, Pashtagav Chavrata, Kofetzes. Rav and Shmuel are talking about a much more narrowly defined area, and in fact, according to one day of the Gemara, they were actually commenting on the Mishnah. Ilfa and Rav Hoshaya were not commenting on the Mishnah. They were just thinking up case conceptualizations. Rav and Shmuel were commenting on the Mishnah on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. So let's see the Mishnah Yud Tes Amud Beis as an introduction to Rav and Shmuel. The Mishnah says, Kesar Mishalemis Mashanenis. So the Gemara says, Achla Mitoch HaRachava from the street. Okay, that's Shein Veregel Rishus HaRabim Mamish. You're Pater from Nezek, and you're Chayiv in Mashinenis. Okay, that we know. And the Gemara says, Mitzide HaRachava, right, Elio? The Gemara doesn't contrast Toch HaRachava to Rishus HaYachid. The contrast of the Mishnah is Toch HaRachava to Tzide HaRachava. Rishus HaNezek, we know you're Chayiv. Toch HaRachava, that's Rishus HaRabim, you're Pater. Tzide HaRachava, you're Chayiv. So the Mishnah itself is taunting us. The Mishnah itself is provoking us to think. In order to get Shein Veregel B'chayev, you don't have to go all the way to Rishus HaYachid, you can remain in Tzidi HaRachava. Rav and Shmuel said, how far into Tzidi HaRachava? Rav says, even if the animal just has to turn a little for its normal walking to eat from Tzidi HaRachava, Rav says, Chafal Kamen Aleph Ur Mechazeres. Shmuel Amar, Afilu Mechazeres Nami Pater, when you chayev, Hechim Mishkachas La, Higon Deshav Kesel L'Rachava, V'Az La, V'Kama B'Tzid HaRachava. Where the animal leaves the public area and steps into the Tzid HaRachava to eat the food, in that case, and only in that case, Yud Picha. So today's question is, what's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel? Within which model are they operating? Do they change the model? Do they maintain the model? If they maintain the model, what are they adding to my conception? Okay? So again, which Rishon learned Rav in a way that's not germane to our sugya? Who learned the Mechayev and Mechazeres having nothing to do with our sugya? Rashi. Where is this Rashi? In the Mishnah. According to Rashi, Rav's Chiyuv of Mechazeres is what? Karen. Mishurna Karen. See Rashi on the Mishnah, Daf Yud Tesamid Beis. Mitzidi harachav mishlamis mashi zika, kidin karentam, chatzi nezek, umur nezek shalem, uvi gemara mefarishla. Now, this stacks up with what other Rashi that we saw in Erev Shabbos? That Rav says that, kofetzes, according to Rav Shai, is also caring. So according to Rashi, we have two cases that look like Shane, but they're really caring. Because the preliminary approach or access to the food was Mishuna. Either because the animal had to jump, or the animal had to turn its body. Of course, Rav's a bigger Chiddush. Jumping is very Mishuna. Turning your body rather than continuing your walking is less of a Shinui. Now the big question, and well, two big questions in Rashi, one question we're not going to focus on so much, but I'll just say, because I want you to have a broad view of the sugya, what's the difference between an animal jumping to get food, kofetzes, according to Rashi, it's Karen, an animal turning itself to get food, mechazeres, according to Rav, it's Karen, and the animal climbing up the table to get the food, to get the bread on daf, Chafam and Aleph, where the Gemara says, well, eating the bread is orche. If eating the bread is orche, then climbing up the table to get the bread is also orche, and the damage of the table would be orche. If I define orche and mishuna by the end point, and Yasi, I assume that if the end point is orche, the process is orche, which the Gemara said by the bread on the table, on Daf Chafam and Aleph, I should say the same thing. Eating bread is orche. Jumping to get bread is considered orche. Eating bread or eating whatever food is orche. Jumping to get food is orche. Eating food is orche. Turning your body around to get food is orche. That's a major, major question in this sugya against Rashi. It has to do with our Karen. We're going to talk a little bit about Karen today when we elaborate Rashi. It has a little bit to do with Karen. How do I define the boundaries between Mishuna Karen and orche? What if I have a process that's partially or preliminarily Mishuna, but ultimately orche? Jumping up a table to get the food. Jumping up in the sky to get food, kofetzes, not climbing a table, or turning your body around to get food. What Rashi in the Mishnah is unclear about, is he only explaining Rav, or is he also explaining Shmuel? When Rashi says that, Yochai batzidi harachava because it's Karen, is he explaining Rav Shita, that's why Yochai by mechazeres because it's Karen, but not Shmuel? Or is he also explaining Shmuel? What would you say from Rashi on the Mishnah? What's the simple shot according to Rashi in the Mishnah? Is Rashi explaining Tzidei Rechava only according to Rav, or is Rashi explaining Tzidei Rechava even according to Shmuel? Both. Exactly. It's Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi says that Tzidei Rechava is Karen. Whether you hold that Tzidei Rechava is the space of Tzidei Rechava that you can access by Mechazeres, or the space of Tzidei Rechava, you can only access by the animal actually going there, further into Tzidei Rechava. That would be the simple pshat in Rashi, and this is the way the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz learns Rashi, which means that Rav and Shmuel are essentially arguing about what? According to Rabbeinu Peretz's view of Rashi, Yossi? The degree of Shinoi necessary to transform it from Shein to Karen. According to Rav, finish the sentence, you need a more extreme Shinoi, or more moderate Shinoi, to become Karen. Moderate. According to Shmuel, you need more extreme. Not just bending your body, but actually moving to a different location. At which point it then becomes, again, part of our Karen conversation. What level of Shinoi does it take to become Karen? We're not analyzing now the relationship between preliminary Shinoi and ultimate Orche. We're now talking about, if the access is Mishuna, it becomes Karen, how significant the Shinoi do you need? Rav says, even if the animal turns to the Tzidei Rechava, that's Shinoi Karen, and you chayev in Rishus HaRabim, because it's Karen. Shmuel says, only if the animal actually moves very far from its walking pattern or walking route to get the food, that would be a Shinoi. And it evokes the question we talked about by Shinoi. I'll say it. I'm not going to go deep into the sugya because I want to dedicate most of our time to the actual shame conversation. But I'll say it because I don't want you to think that any machlokas Rishonim or any machlokas Amarayim according to Rishonim should be left unexplored or unexamined. Every time you reach a machlokas, what does it mean? Why? What are they arguing about? You may not have the answers. Just train your minds. Step one is to identify the machlokas. Step two is to explain it. What's the nekudas ha-machlokas? Somehow, Rav and Shmuel are arguing about why Shinoi turns something into Karen, Chatzi Nesek. Remember, we talked about this a lot before Hanukkah. Is Shinoi a discount for the Mazik? Because the Mazik couldn't see it coming. Stam Shvarim Bechaska Shimer Kaimei. We paskin, it's a knas, and you can't make me into a poshea, and it's not fair. Or does the Shinoi make it less of a Mazik? The fact that this is something that doesn't happen that often means that it's not a mazik that I'm chayiv for. It doesn't have a shame mazik. I quoted the Rav very often on this question. So I just want you to start thinking about that question vis-a-vis Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel says that even a moderate shinoi converts it to keren and reduces it to chazi nezik, but it ends chayiv in Rosh Hasharabim. Whereas according to Rav and Shmuel, you need an extreme shinoi. Which of them sees shinoi as a kerenizer? Because you're less poshea, which of them sees shinoi as a karenizer because it's less of a mazik? So I want you to start connecting detail machlokas in to concepts. Details to concepts. Every time you see a detail machlokas, what concept is this reflective of? I don't want to delve into it because I don't want to get distracted with Karen. But I don't want you to like leave machlokas in unattended. Train your mind to process the machlokas. This is the simple pshat yasi that I would say in Rashi. That when Rashi calls Tzidei Rechava Karen, he refers to both versions of Tzidei Rechava. Rav's version, minimal entry or digression or deviation into Tzidei Rechava, or Shmuel, more extreme deviation into Tzidei Rechava. Who doesn't learn this way in Shmuel? Trick question. Who doesn't learn this way in Shmuel? Rashi. Rashi himself, on Daf Chaf Aleph, when he explains Shmuel, explains that Shmuel's chiyuv by Shavkasa, the Tzid HaRechava, is not Karen, but is redefining Rosh HaSayachid, which creates a problem in the Rabbeinu Peretz, and leads Rabbeinu Peretz and many others to assume there are two versions in Rashi. Rashi's original version, which I just explained to you, that Rav and Shmuel are both operating within Karen, they're just arguing how much of a deviation you need to make it Karen, as opposed to Rashi's final version, which we have on Daf Chaf Aleph, in which, again, Rav is Karen, Shmuel is Shem. Let's see Rashi on Daf Chaf Aleph. It doesn't say it explicitly, but if you read Rashi carefully, you'll see it. Rashi says, Petura, when Shmuel rejects Rav's Chivai Mechazeres, that's Pater. Hoel the Gufa Behema Koi Berchava, the Orchehu Lahaksi Rosha, the Shane Birshus Arabim. Okay, that's not that incriminating. He's just saying, your case of Mechazeres Rav is not enough to convert it to Karen. It's still Shane. It's a Shus Arabim. It's going to be Pater. Okay, he's rejecting Rav. We don't know what Shmuel will say. Bashavkasa. Maybe Shmuel will say, Adir, your case of Mechazeres, it's still Shane. It's not enough Karen. But my case of Shavkasa, that's enough to be Karen. But when Rashi explains Shmuel's Shavkasa, v'kama b'tzide harachava, she'ein derech shvarm l'lechas sham, okay, since Shavkasa is really a deviation, Elio, so maybe call it Karen, he says, hilkach lav kirshus arabim dami. That's the incriminating phrase. Why when Rashi explains Shmuel's chiv by Shavkasa, Henry, does he say lav kirshus arabim? You say Karen. It's a shinui. This Rashi makes it pretty clear that at least according to Shmuel, you've moved from Karen to Shein Varekha. And you've redefined it as a Rosh HaSayachid. Which means that according to Rashi, in the final version, if we paste together Yasi Rashi and the Mishnah to Rashi and Chaf Aleph, it turns out that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about what? Is Tzidei Rechava Mechayev because of Shmuel? Or is it Chayev because of Karen? So Rav and Shmuel are not both operating within Karen and describing different levels of Shinoi necessary to make it Karen. They're arguing categorically. Rav feels that you can create a Karen by this minimal sheen of Mechazeres. Shmuel says, no way. Shmuel says, there is no way to turn this into Karen, since the end game is Orchei, the end game is eating food, as we saw the questions on Rashi. The questions on Rashi, Henry, are not questions on Rashi. Listen carefully to the methodology. There are reasons that Shmuel rejects Rav. Same question you can ask on Rashi. It could be why Shmuel rejected Rav, because he asked Akasha on that concept. Shmuel didn't like a preliminary Shinoi, but an ultimate Orchei being defined as Karen. Just like no one liked it in Rashi, even within Rav. But even if I say it according to Rashi within Rav, that could be Shmuel's objection. Okay, Rav, doesn't make sense. Same kasha, all the Rishonim ask on Rashi, Shmuel asked on Rav. And therefore, Shmuel had to define Tzid HaRechava Shem V'Regel. And the only part of Tzid HaRechava that could be Shem V'Regel is placed far enough embedded that the animal has to actually walk there. Again, why is it Rishon Se'achid? Rashi doesn't tell us. But now we're in Shein and Regel territory. Now we've moved from Karen, and now we're in our Sugya, that at least we have a place in Tzid HaRechava, according to Shmuel, that could be called Rishon Se'achid. With Mechazeres, it's not Rishon Se'achid, it's only Karen. Who feels that both Rav and Shmuel are both defining parts of Tzid HaRechava as Rishon Se'achid? Tosfos. This is Shita Tosfos. We're going to spend a lot of time with Tosfos, and then we'll move to the Shita of the Ramban. Okay? So now let's open up Tosfos. Noam?
In both our Tosfos are in parents and Rashi and Chafalov, isn't Machlokes by both of them still whether Karen, that's just Shima is enough to make a Karen?
Right. No. According to the Madura Kama in Rashi, which is what this is, the Beta Parents calls as a Madura Kama, they both feel that Shina can make it Karen. How much of a Shina? Rav says even a slight turn, which Shmuel says only relocation of the animal's body. Whereas according to Madura Basra, Shmuel rejects the whole notion to Karenize this case, because the end point is Orchei. Since I can't Karenize it, my only hope is to be Shein and Regel, and I have to rezone parts of Tzid HaRechava, or Tzid HaSeyachit, which Rashi doesn't say how it works. Okay, in spirit, let's connect the two Shiurim, guys. In spirit, is Tos, I'm going to ask a very abstract question now, is Tosva's zoning scheme, what's called Rishon Se'achid? What's called Rishon Se'arabin? Is it modeled after the Rush's scheme from Daf Chaf? Or is it modeled after the Rashba's scheme from Daf Chaf? Can anyone answer that question? If not, I'll repeat the Rush's scheme and the Rashba's scheme. Remember we had two different schemes for creating virtual Rishon Se'achids on Friday? The Rashba's scheme, why Agav Chavrata and high places could be Rishon Se'achid, and the Rush's scheme of why Agav Chavrata and high places can be Rishon Se'achid. Which one does it sound like Tosfos is adopting? Alex?
At least in his definition of Shmuel's Svar, it would be the Rush.
Excellent. Actually, both Svars. Both in Shmuel and Rav, it seems from Tosfos that the boundary between, and we'll talk about this a lot, between what I call Rishus HaNizik for Nizikin and what I call Rishus HaRabim is based on accessibility. Namely, the Nizik says, which areas can animals access? That's a Rishus HaRabim. Which areas can animals not access? That's a Rishus HaYachid. In this very delicate dance and balance between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid, the boundary lines are not the classic legal Yishai boundary lines of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaNizik. The boundary lines are animal accessibility. Places the animal can access, Rishus HaRabim. Don't leave your peros there, it's a Rishus HaRabim. Places the animal can't access, Natan, even though they're legally called Rishus HaYachid, or Rishus HaRabim, excuse me, places the animal can't access. That's all about access. That's why Adam the Gemara doesn't even quote the famous question of how we call Tzid Rishus HaRabim legally, these side areas. I'm not interested in the legality right now, the legal zoning of Tzid HaRechava. I'm interested right now in one question, access or non-access. And Rav and Shmuel, I would say, I may change this, but I would say this is clear. Whoa, so this is in the garbage. This is a hard one to erase. It was out of play. Yeah. Okay. Rav and Shmuel are arguing about, here's Rishus Hayachid Mamish. This is where everyone lives. These are the houses. Here is Rishas HaRabim Mamish, where all the cars go. And this twilight zone is Sidei Rechava, the equivalent of our sidewalks, near the walls. So now we have to decide what part of this Sidei Rechava for Bava Kama, what we call Rishas HaRabim, we put there. What part of Sidei Rechava for Bava Kama will be Rishas HaYachid Bichai? Okay? Just to help you abstract. Who favors the Nizik, gives more room to the Nizikim, to the Pedros? Who favors the Mazik?
Rav gives more favor to the
Nizik. Excellent. According to Rav, the Nizik, this is Rav, I only have one column. See if I get another column short, because I need one for Rav, one for Shmuel. According to Rav, the Rishis HaYachid, this is Rav, extends all the way out to the area that the animal, remember Rav's black, that the animal can reach through Mechazaris. This is Rishis HaRabim, according to Rav. The place that the animal can eat through Mechazaris, that's already the Rishis HaYachid. I zone based on access, and I gauge access based on minimal effort of the animal. Places the animal can access without changing, that's a Rishis HaRabim. Places the animal can only access through change, even if that's a minimal change, a minimal effort, that's already Rishis HaYachid. Namely, I allocate more room to the Nizik, and therefore there's more Chiyuv. Whereas according to Shmuel, Shmuel will be the red, Shmuel's scenario is I allocate more room, this is the boundary according to Rav, according to the black, this is Rishis HaRabim, this is Rishis HaNizik for Bava Kama. I'll just use black, because black is Rav and Shmuel, red are the formal zones. One second now, it's okay? Whereas according to Shmuel, Shmuel's zoning is different. Shmuel's on the bottom. Shmuel's zoning is, the boundary is here. This is Rishis HaRabim, this is Rishis HaNizik. Namely, areas the animal can access through Mechazeres, that's still Rishis HaRabim. Areas the animal can only access through Shafkasa, it's actually moving, that will be Rishis HaNizik. Namely, I give more space to Rishis HaRabim and to animals than I give to Kalim. Remember this delicate social balance between animals and Kalim. Rav and Shmuel are arguing about where that lies. Let's just read Tosos, then I'll answer your question. This is what it sounds like in Tosos. I'll answer your question. We'll talk about the Rashba. We'll talk about maybe another option. Okay, so everyone follow. Very abstract conversations. Then we'll ask a couple of questions on Tosos. Let's just see Tosos. Tosos asks on Rashi. Of course, Henry, he doesn't like Rashi because the Mishnah makes it sound like it's all Shane. So this is a Shane conversation. Why are you throwing Hillel Karen into the middle of Shane? The Mishnah is all about Shane. And remember, Yossi, unlike Friday's shir, where Ilfa and Rav Hoshi had standalone statements, which could be Karen, Rav and Shmuel explaining the Mishnah according to the first day. So they're explaining the first Mishnah according to the first day of the Gemara. They should be talking about Shane, not about Karen. So the Karen oddity is even more strange and bizarre today than it was Friday. To all of a sudden bring Karen into the conversation. So that's Tosis Kasha. Let's see Tosis Kasha. The Kasha Le Perusha, line number 7. Dil Elmrina, he asked the first Kasha in Rashi, how can it be Karen if the end point is Orche? Noam, okay, Viod, the Mishnah Lemes Masha Ezika Mashma Nezek Shalem. The Mishnah makes it sound like it's Nezek Shalem, not Chatzi Nezek. Then he asks the question from tomorrow, Shir, which is Makatsa Makam, so we'll get to that tomorrow. So thus it says, Venir Luri, Titsine Rechava, Chashiv Chatzir Nezek. Shekol Achad Yeshla Rishus Lanich Perosav Keneged Pesach Beso. Or Larav, Afilam Makam Shechol Achsa Bechizu, Chashiv Chatzir Nezek. We push out the boundaries of Chatzir Nezek. So far, anywhere that the animal can reach has to stretch. I'll use the word stretch from a chazara. So turn to get, that's called Rishis HaYachid. The only place that's Rishis HaRabim where you can't put your peros are places the animal's just going to eat naturally from the sidewalk. V'lishmuel, makom sheyachol alecho b'chazara, chashav like Rishis HaRabim. Places the animal can access easily by turning, that's still Rishis HaRabim. The only place not to turn on the sidewalk, you can put the peros, a place the animal can only access by relocating Shafgasa Letzidei HaRechava. So Rav and Shmuel are arguing about how to draw the boundaries between Rishis HaRabim and Rishis HaYachid. Alex.
Is it
So I had a question about how Rav's Shita was going to Tosfos. Right, I assume that when he said, right, Komakom, that it would be all of Tzidur Rechav would be considered Rishus
and except for, you know, an inch, except for the first 2 inches, let's say.
The animal could just like eat without doing its bottom. Just move its head.
That is essentially
right. Right. I mean, there still would be a place of Tzidur Rechav, a place that the animal can access without Chizur. Okay? Yes, dear.
It doesn't seem to be such an issue that in the Mishnah, that initially we talk about caring, because the ratio of the Mishnah was talked about caring for everyone.
So much the style of the Mishnah, but the language sounds like Stamis Nesek Shelley, according to Tosis.
Correct.
That's Tosis Kashis. Okay. Now, is this really the end point of the Machlokas area? Could they be arguing about how to define the boundaries? Does this mean, Dovi, that they're both operating within the same system, and they're just deciding how far to draw the boundaries? Rav favored private people. By the way, who is Rav? We haven't really met Rav this year. Does anyone know anything about Rav? Okay, since this is the second time we've met Rav and Shmuel. What's the first time we met Rav and Shmuel? Gimlon Beis. Avnos Akino Maso. Lachosh Enafel B'shus Arabim Delof Gerinu. Which according to Shmuel is Bar, but according to Rav, we have to struggle to find some address for it. He calls it Shur. For the Chor or Mamon Shizik, we don't know. Okay, this is the second time we're encountering Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So who was Rav? When did he live? What was his relationship with Shmuel? Anything about Rav? What? Not really. Not significantly. Rav lived in the 2nd and 3rd century. Okay? He learned with his uncle, Rabbi Chia. And he also learned with his uncle's Rebbe, who was Rabbi Danasi. So he had this multi-generational masar. They asked him, who is your Rebbe? Rabbi Chia. Who else was a Rebbe? The older generation, Rabbi Danasi. In 239, he makes his second move to Bavel, and that's an iconic moment when the Gadol Hadar moves to Bavel, then the Torah gravity shifts to Bavel. So now everything's in Bavel. Of course, it is well known, a good lesson for everyone who's here, an even better lesson for everyone who's not here. He was known for never missing a day in the Beis Medrash. There's a famous question, a couple times it happens that he and his co-Talmud Levi were delivering different gersals of what Rabbi Danasi said, and Levi got it wrong and Rav got it right. So they said, oh, because Rav, you never left the Beis Medrash, but then Levi was in and out. As Levi was in and out, he didn't have the full gersa of what his Rebbe had said. He moves to Bavel, and he shows up in the central Torah city of Bavel, which is what? No. Narda. Shows up with the big yeshivas in Narda, and Rav Shila is the Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav is such a big honor that he says, you know, I'll be the Meturgeman. I'll just be like, you know, the Magid Shir, the Chazar Shir guy. And one day, and Rav Shila finds out that Rav is giving Chazar Shir, which is not for his dignity, and he wants him not to, but Rav says, I'm going to continue. Anyway, Rav Shila passes away, and now they want Rav to be the Rosh Yeshiva. But he doesn't feel right because Shmuel was already there. So because he doesn't want to replace Shmuel, he moves and starts a yeshiva in Surah. And that becomes an even larger yeshiva than Narada. It was a yeshiva that at one point, which you have to adjust for different times, at one point had 1,200 Talmidim. 1,200 Talmidim in the 6th century is probably like 40,000 Talmidim today. There were no trains, no planes. I mean, talking about 1,200 people to gather in one place and learn Torah. It lasts about 600 years, the yeshiva of Surah. It's like the oldest and most legendary yeshiva in Bavel. And just to give another, who do you paskin like, Rav or Shmuel?
Rav.
When it comes to Yisurim, you paskin like Rav. When it comes to Mamonos, you paskin like Shmuel. So Rav evidently excelled in Yisurim. Shmuel was more Mamonos. There is an ancient tradition that Rav is sometimes called Rabbi Abba. So you see, Rabbi Abba could be Rav because he was, they called him Abba, like a sign of, you know, the elder statesman, especially in the Zohar. There's a lot of Rabbi Abba in the Zohar, and it sounds like it could be Rav. And there's a tradition that very often you'll have conversations in Shas, and the Gemara will say, why didn't Rav answer? Shasik Rav. Rav decided not to say anything. So we all think, you know, you have to answer every question. But there's a Masara that Rav had an answer, but it was an answer al pi Kabbalah, because he was a big Makubal. And he said, I'm not going to bring Kabbalah to the conversation. This is a conversation about Nigla. I have an answer, but it's an answer from Kabbalah. And let's just keep the conversation in Nigla. So Shasik Rav. I don't want to share Kabbalah with too many people. So everyone, you ever see that Shasik Rav? It's fascinating why Rav was quiet in the Machlokas. Okay? Fine. Then we'll talk about Shmuel tomorrow or next year. Okay? Now, remember I told you on Friday that according to the Rashba, defining Rishis Hayachid is not based on access or non-access, but based on space that can be borrowed and shared, shared space. Does this mean that Tosfos argues on the Rashba? Or can you distinguish? Why would the Rashba say what he did on Friday, but maybe hold like Tosfos today? Or said differently, why could Tosfos agree with the Rashba on Friday, but say what he says here, that Rishis Hayachid is defined as access points as opposed to what we said on Friday? What's the difference between the conversation on Friday and the conversation today? What were we talking about Friday? What are we talking about today?
You mind your Rishas?
What are we talking about today? Part of the Rishas HaRabim topography, we're talking about no man's land, right? What is the most famous no man's land of the 20th century? Any war historians? What? Well, that's in the 20th, in the late 20th century. Early 20th century? No man's land was in World War I, between the trenches. And that was a killing field. And so today we're talking about no man's land. How do we define boundaries between permanent areas, permanent part of the topography of Rishus HaRabim? You've got houses, you've got thoroughfares, you've got areas that are in between. No one in their right mind is going to build highways butting up to houses. It's horrible. You're not going to live. You're going to die. People have no space to live, no space to breathe, no space to walk. Any normal society is going to have these boundaries, whether it's plazas, whether it's traffic circles, whether it's sidewalks. There's going to be spaces that are somewhere in between, but they're permanent spaces. And at that time, we have to map those. So Tosfos is saying, we're going to map them, at least within Bava Kamma, not necessarily within Shabbos, based on accessibility. And Rav and Shmuel are arguing about how you draw the lines. Rav favors the Nizik. Anywhere that the animal can only reach through slight deviation, it's going to be Rishus HaYachid. Where Shmuel is going to favor the animals. He's going to say, no, the animals can go wherever they want to be putter. The only area you can leave your Caleb and get paid if they get damaged are areas that the animal can only reach through relocation. What were we talking about on Friday? As opposed to part of the Rishus HaRabim's architecture. What were we talking about on Friday?
In the middle of the main road.
What?
In the middle of the main road.
Yeah, but what cases were we talking about?
That's
yeah, give me a category. Not part of the map of Rishus HaRabim, but we have to map it, but temporary areas that could be called bubbles within Rishus HaRabim. What are examples of bubbles in Rishus HaRabim that we can call bubbles of Rishus HaYachid? Back of an animal, a basket, a kupa. Mm-hmm. According to the Rashba, what were we talking about by Kofetzes? Ekstaba, a platform. So in theory, you could say what the Rashba said on Friday, but still hold like Tosfos on Monday. Namely, there are two questions of Rishus HaYachid. One is, what happens if you take these little vacuums of Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim? Can a society allow people to create Rishus HaYachid vacuums, temporary Rishus HaYachid vacuums within Rishus HaRabim? Your animal's not going to be there forever. It's going to come home. The basket's not going to be there forever. It's going to come home. You're not going to use Ari the Tztaba forever. You'll use it for 10 minutes. Can I say that for those 10 minutes, you have the right of usage, and the right of usage makes it Rishus HaYachid, Adam, regardless of accessibility. We're not going to use accessibility to define the back of an animal as a Rishus HaYachid. We'll call it a Rishus HaYachid, period. Because you have the right to bring your animals back into Rishus, and your animals front into Rishus HaRabim. And to call it a Rishus HaYachid for 5 minutes or 10 minutes as you're walking through. You have the right to use that at Staba as your Rishus HaYachid, like we said on Simta. All right, you said the word Simta on Friday for 10 minutes. That's a Rishus HaYachid for 10 minutes. You have the right to bring your basket into Rishus HaRabim and consider it Rishus HaYachid. Namely, on Friday, Yossi, we may zone things as Rishus HaYachid, regardless of can the animal access it or not. We may follow the Rashba's more absolute version of what's Rishus HaYachid. Anything on my animal's back where the animal can access it with more effort or less effort is Rosh Hashayachid. Anything on its staba, I don't care how much effort the animal has to use, it's Rosh Hashayachid. Today, we're not talking about temporary Rosh Hashayachid bubbles in Rosh Hashayachid. Today, we're talking about permanent zoning of this sidewalk for Dinei Bava Kama. And Tosu says, and maybe the Rashba says, he actually says it, that's what I'm saying. The Rashba doesn't say what he said on Friday today. If you look at the Rashba, I didn't give it to you on the Makaros. The Rashba says, I would like Tosu. Because on Chaf Aleph, we're dealing with a very different scenario. We're dealing with permanent definitions of sidewalks. And permanent definitions of sidewalks have to be based on access or no access. You can't say it's all Rosh Hashayachid for 10 minutes because we can't define the sidewalk for 10 minutes. We have to define the sidewalk forever. So the back of an animal, hello, you're walking with your animal in Rosh Hashayachid for 10 minutes, I can say, that's Rosh Hashayachid. I don't care how easy the access, how hard the access, that's Rosh Hashayachid. The Itztaba is mine for 10 minutes. The Kupa is mine for 10 minutes. Today we're not describing temporary bubbles. Today we're describing we have to draw a permanent line that will exist forever between Rosh Hashayachid and Rosh Hashayachid for Dina Nezikin. And therefore we have to find some yardstick. And the yardstick is going to be access. Machlok is going to be what type of access. Okay, so I want you to try to connect the two conversations. On Friday, we had a conversation about backs, and we saw two different models. Now we're shifting to the Rashi's model in Tosfos, access. Does that mean that Tosfos agrees with the Rashi and disagrees with the Rashba? Maybe. It's not hard to say that Tosfos agrees with the Rashi. But if you look at the Rashba in our sugya, he actually says like Tosfos. So how come the Rashba on Friday talked about automatic rights of usage, defining something as Rosh Hashayachid, whereas today you talked about access. Because we're dealing with different types of scenarios. Yudah, Tzad, HaShavah, we're trying to come to some definition of Rosh HaNizik for Nezikin. This is not Shabbos, this is not Kinyan, this is Nezikin. And there are two ways to define Rosh Hashayachid. There's one Rosh Hashayachid, which is platforms, backs, and baskets. There's another Rosh Hashayachid, how we define the Tzidi HaRachav. Okay? Now, we are assuming today, we're not going to break this assumption that Rav and Shmuel are both operating within the same model. Namely, I have to define Rosh Hashayachid. My yardstick is access, Oren. How much access do I favor Nisik or favor Masik? It's altogether possible that Rav and Shmuel disagree with how I define Rosh Hashayachid, Rosh Hashayachid, but that doesn't seem to be Tosfos. Seems to be that they're both operating within the same system. They're just arguing how I draw the lines. Okay? Next part of Shir. Come, everyone. Get back into it. Adam, Henry, come on. Let's wake up. Come. What are the two questions on Tosfos? Anyone see the Makaros? What are the two things we have to wrestle with Tosfos? Alex.
yeah, Shmuel's language of Apilu Machazeret, because it would mean that if it's Apilu Machazeret, then Rav would say only Machazeret. Right.
The opposite, but correct. Rav is saying that even areas that the animal can access with minimal turning are called Rosh Hashayachid and create a chiyav in Rosh Hashayachid because they're called Rosh Hashayachids. Rosh Hashayachid says, no, don't be so crazy. You know the only Rosh Hashayachid I can call Rosh Hashayachid? Place that the animal has to really, really strain to get to and walk to get to. So Rav is being more radical. Even areas, Natan, Yisrael, even areas that the animal can access by Mechazeres are considered Rosh Hashayachid in the middle of Rosh Hashayachid. That's how Tosfos said it, Alex. Look at Tosfos. Let's see Rav. Ve'Rav, look at Tosfos. Five lines from the bottom. Afilu b'makom shiyachol lachzor b'chizor chashir chazor b'chizor. So what word is missing from the Gemara according to Tosfos in Rav? I just said it. What word is missing? Afilu. Rav should say afilu v'mechazeres. Rav shouldn't say uvim mechazeres. Rav should say, I got news for you. I'm so nizik, proactive, that I'm going to call all the sidewalk, except for 2 inches, Alex. I'm going to call the entire sidewalk Rosh Hashayach. I'll be very radical. Shmuel said, whoa, Rav, calm down. Don't convert so much sidewalk into Rosh Hashayachid. It doesn't sound as if Rav is being radical in this sugya. Tosfos makes him radical. Afilu. Afilu mechazeres. I'll just use quantifications to make it easier for you. Even 5 feet in, where the animal could just turn its body. Shmuel says, no, you need 10 feet into the sidewalk where the animals actually walk to get to the food. So one problem is the language of the Gemara. What's the second problem? This is the bigger problem we're going to spend time on. Does anyone get it? What's the second problem? I'll state the theory. You tell me the problem. According to Rav, you know what we're really mapping? We're mapping the boundary line of Tzidei Rechava. What part of Tzidei Rechava will be Rosh Hashanah Nisak? What part of Tzidei Rechava will be Rosh Hashanah Rav? It's a Tzidei Rechava question. We have this ticklish issue called Tzidei Rechava. We have a sidewalk. We have to decide what part of the sidewalk is mine, what part of the sidewalk is yours. We'll use access to make that decision. Listen carefully. It's only a Tzidei Rechava question. It's not a general question. It's a Tzidei Rechava question pertaining to Shein Verek. For Tzidei Rechava and Bava Kama, we have hard decisions to make, and we'll make them based on access, Rav's access, Shmuel's Behema access. What's the problem? If this is only a Tzidei Rechava issue. Come on, look at the Gemara. What's the problem? Alex? Beautiful. Excellent. Why is the Gemara asking a kasha on Rav from Pesach HaChanos? Pesach HaChanos is not Tzidei Rechava. It's Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Mamash. That's a big question in this again. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next half an hour. The Gemara says, oh, Rav? You're a chayav on Rosh Hashanah. How come the Mishnah says that if you have a storefront, the storefronts are open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbi, and you have peros, the Pesach HaChanos, and the animal eats peros by mechazaras, how come the Mishnah says you're pater by Pesach HaChanos? The Mishnah says you're pater by Pesach HaChanos. We're going to come back to this later, so I'm hiding this. This is camouflage, but keep in mind that Mitoch HaChanos is chayim. We're going to talk about that later. Toch HaChanos is chayim. This is the Mishnah. Pesach HaChanos is pater. Toch HaChanos is chayim. Rav, animals, can only eat from Pesach HaChanos by turning. Right? You're not going to walk into a fruit stand. You're going to walk on the side. You're going to train your body a little bit to eat. Rav says, Mechazeres is chayiv. How come the Mishnah says, Pesach HaChanos is pater, if Pesach HaChanos requires Mechazeres? What should the answer be, Alex? Mechazeres is not a Mechayiv. Mechazeres is only, come on, tease it out. Mechazeres is only a yardstick to map Tzidei Rechava. When I'm mapping Tzidei Rechava, do I use Mechazeres as my yardstick for the boundary? Or I use relocation as the yardstick for the boundary? You can even look at my body. Do I say, oh, this is Rosh Hashanah Yachid? This is Rosh Hashanah Rabim? Or I say, you know what? You know what part of Tzidei Rechava is Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Only this. It's a Tzidei Rechava question. Mechazeres is in a Mechayev. Spaces the animal can reach with Mechazeres, according to Rav, is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. According to Shmuel, is not. How could you then ask a question on Rav? The storefront. The storefront is not Tzidei Rechava. That's a big question on Rav. Neither Ramban didn't learn like Rav, nor did Rashi. It's a big question on Tosfos. Tosfos shrunk the whole question into a Tzidei Rechava issue. Why are you asking from Pesach HaChanos? That's the tension of the sugya, guys. Learn the tension of the sugya. Learn where it comes from. It's this association between Rav and Shmuel and Pesach HaChanos that didn't make sense according to Rashi, and according to Tosfos, that forced Rashi one way and the Ramban another way. We'll see the Ramban soon. So what's your answer? Give me an answer. Let's play along. Evidently, come on, do you have enough Gemara logic to make sense of the question? They're not the same, but they're, what's a little less than the same? Okay? Hillel's twin brother, your evil twin brother who's in, I don't know, it's a brother yeshiva now, he's the same as you. But you and Yehuda are not the same. You are analogous. You're both Tamidim, and you and Har Tzion listening to this year. Just like, come on, give me the just like. Just like.
You have a rishus to put your fruits and seeds
in. Right. Correct. I'll say a little more abstract. Just like Rav uses Mechazeres to define this twilight zone of shared space, in any place the animal can only access by turning its body 3 feet in is going to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid. There are other forms of twilight spaces in Rosh Hashanah. Not sidewalks, but They're not the same, but they're analogous. Just like we have to map sidewalks. And Rav uses a very, very Nisik favored map to carve out more Nisik space on sidewalks. We also have to carve out boundary lines in storefronts. So storefronts is also the shared area. After all, you're using the Rosh Hashanah. When's the last time you were in Kfar Etzion and you saw these tables of the cafe in Rosh Hashanah? Right? Everyone knows it's really Rosh Hashanah, but you can use it for your So the storefront, everyone knows, is going to be fruit on display. We have to map. So the Gemara's question is, Rav, if you use the Mechazeres ruler for mapping Tzidei Rechava, in any place the animal can only access by turning its body, is already Rosh Hashayachid, because you're very Nisik-oriented, then use the same map for storefronts. And any part of the storefront that the animal can only access by Mechazeres should also be Rosh Hashayachid Chayiv. What is the Mishnah say about that? The question is by analogy, not by direct one-to-one karmai. Just like you use Mechazeres to map two feet in as Rosh Hashayachid on the sidewalk, use Mechazeres to map 2 feet in from Rosh Hashanah. This is the main thoroughfare of Rosh Hashanah. Again, just to keep our variables the same. This is the no man's land of Rosh Hashanah that has to be mapped one way or the other. So use your Mechazeres ruler to call it Rosh Hashanah the same way you use your Mechazeres ruler to call it Tzidei Rechava Rosh Hashanah. That's the question on Rav. Okay. So the question makes sense, but what doesn't make sense now? I've given it away. What doesn't make sense?
The answer.
Okay. What's the answer? I bet you. What's the answer of the Gemara? Oh, you know the difference between Tzidei Rechava, where Mechazeres ruler creates Rosh Hashayachid, and Pesach Hanus? Pesach Hanus doesn't mean every Pesach Hanus. You're right, every Pesach Hanus will be Rosh Hashayachid based on the Mechazeres marker. Which Pesach Hanus will not be Rosh Hashayachid based on the Mechazeres marker? What's it? Karen's office. So that's Karen's office. Let's use Rashi's case or Tosfos' case. It doesn't make much of a difference. Just use Rashi's because it's easier. For now, there could be a difference. Rashi's case is where the animal, here's the Chanos. Here's Pesach HaChanos, where the animal can eat from Pesach HaChanos without Mechazeres. Normally, we use Mechazeres to define Rosh Hashanah. And a normal Pesach HaChanos will also define as Rosh Hashanah. Aye, when the Mishnah says Pesach HaChanos is Pater, what's the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah is Pesach HaChanos Pater is only Karen's office. That's just the answer. Just before I get to the Lumbus, that's just the calculus. I haven't said anything. I mean, first say it right. Namely, Mechazeres here will create, the ruler will create Rosh Hashanah. The same ruler will be applied to storefronts. And we'll call normal pair of storefronts that can only be accessed by Mechazeres will measure 2 feet in as a Shusha Nisik. And you'd be Chayef. When the Mishnah says Pesach HaChanos Pater, it was referring to Karen's office. That's just the... Just explain the Gemara. I haven't said anything yet. But let's follow the logic now. Wait a second. If I always use Mechazeres to create a Shusha Yachid out of these dead spaces... So I should use it here to create 2 feet in as Rosh Hashanah. I should use it here to call 2 feet in from the major thoroughfare Rosh Hashanah. I should also use it here. Why does this Balachanus get less than his 2 feet of Rosh Hashanah because of the architecture of the Mavli? After all, I just follow it here. He has a store. Here's the two front. 2 feet in should be his Rosh Hashanah. What is the fact that the animal, if he accesses it, if the animal accesses it from this way, then he has to be Mechazeres. The animal accesses it from this way, he doesn't have to be Mechazeres. But why don't you just use the ruler and say, since the animal is coming from this way, can only access the Paris by Mechazeres, it's considered Rosh Hashanah. Why do I look at this? Oh, animals that come this way can access it without Mechazeres because they're, here's the thoroughfare here, so they're walking here until the animal turns. It's a bigger entree point. So they're walking in the vector that the Paris are there, so they'll walk right into the Paris and eat them without, it'll be 1 inch rather than 2 feet. If I'm using Mechazeres as a ruler to map twilight zones, And I use the ruler to map a generous Rosh Hashanah here. And I use the ruler to map a generous Rosh Hashanah here. Why don't I use the same ruler to map a generous Rosh Hashanah by the storefront? Because animals that walk this way can only access the fruit by Mechazeres. Okay, animals that come the other way. Why would I? This could be why. Who thought of this question? Who thought of this question? Tosas. What's Tosas' scenario of Karen Zavis? Perpendicular.
This is Tosas' scenario.
And the store is here. But actually, the store is here, right? So the animal can only access from both directions. The animal can access in either direction without Mechazeres. And since the animal can access from either area without Mechazeres, then it's a Rosh Hashanah. And that's why the mission says Pesach HaChanas is Pater. Because if I have any scenario where there's an access point only through Mechazeres, that should be a ruler to already carve out Rosh Hashanah space. I have answers to the kasha, but I just want you to see the complication in Tosfos. Because you're not seeing, listen carefully, I'm going to use a very abstract term here, but if you get it, you'll see the sugya. According to Rashi, Mechazeres is an activity that creates the chiyuv. In Rashi, it's a Karen activity. So therefore, anytime I have the activity of Mechazeres, I'm chayiv. If I don't have the action or the activity of Mechazeres, I'm pater. So Karen's office is a case where the animal happened to be walking at an angle that it didn't have to turn its body. But according to Tosfos, Mechazeres is not an action that creates a chiyuv. It's a ruler to carve out landscapes. It's a ruler to carve out zones. Areas the animal can only access by Mechazeres, up! That's a Shosiach. Areas the animal can access, according to Rav. So once I use it as a ruler, why should the particulars make a difference? Rulers are absolute. Once I use it to create space, what do I care about? Oh, the animal came from this direction and that direction. That could be why Tosis have to change the scenario. There's an answer to Tosis, but it gets very complicated in Tosis. One, because you're jumping from sidewalks to storefronts. Two is, the answer is, oh, you know which storefront is Pater? The storefront in the Karen Zavis. What do you mean? If it's a storefront that some animals have to access by Mechazeres, why doesn't that consider that storefront of Rosh Hashanah? This animal walked from a different direction. I don't care. I care if the animal is Will Chamberlain and didn't have to Mechazeres. Most animals that walk from a certain direction have to access it through Mechazeres. That means, Yosef, it's your Rosh Hashanah. That's going to be why Tosfos switches. Shimon Kabasa is why Tosfos switches from this to this. To create a case where there's access from both angles without Mechazeres. Oh, there's access without Mechazeres. That means it's the 2 inches that's Rosh Hashanah. Don't put your parents there. But there's a problem in the Sugya, according to Tosfos, with dealing with this entire association between Seder and Chava. Again, it's really, 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 really good Sugya to learn how to see the Sugya in its totality. Not just to hone in on Rav and Shmuel, but to see the association that Gemara makes and the question it has and the answer it gives. Makes a lot more sense according to Rashi. Rashi has his own problems. A lot more sense according to the Ramban. Tosfos really gets stuck in this issue, which is why, we'll see this a little bit later, maybe we'll see it now, which is why Tosfos is so happy to quote the Yishalmi. I don't know if this is what plugging Tosfos, but the Yishalmi has a different answer to the Pesach Hanos. We'll talk about it in a moment. I won't answer your question. We'll talk about the Yishalmi's answer. The Yishalmi's answer is tailor-made for Tosfos. And you'll appreciate how much better the Yishalmi is according to Tosfos than the Bavli. We can solve the Bavli, but the Yishalmi really works according to Tosfos. Yes, Alicia.
If this is a balance between the rights of the Baal HaShor and the Baal HaPeiros, wouldn't we be more inclined to be lenient or to lean towards the Baal HaPeiros in the case of the storefront than the case of the sidewalk?
Okay, correct. Another problem in Tosfos is like, how can you just make the association between sidewalks and storefronts? It's socially more beneficial to allow greater latitude for storefronts. I mean, that's inherent within the question I asked. Anytime you get an analogy between Hillel and Yud, okay, Hillel's from the Five Towns, Yud is from Riverdale, like, you know, you can't come. There are a thousand different ways to distinguish between them anytime you make an analogy. But at least that the Gemara makes sense. I can think, at least the question. I can answer it a thousand different ways, but why, how does the question even make sense? To jump from Seder Rechavah to storefronts. Okay, yeah, you'll see.
You say that if Tosfos holds the Rashi that's about accessibility, then you might even be able to refer to Rashi's case of Karen's office, because what you're doing is you're limiting what was the main way into a civic area. So you same amount of people, you're trying to condense them. Maybe you're saying that puts the same amount of accessibility, even though there's less sidewalk.
And therefore we'd favor Mazikin more than Nezikin.
Yeah.
Could be. Could be. It's like there's an X factor here. Unrelated to how much strain is necessary to access, we have to carve more space for animals because the place is getting more narrow. Could be. But again, the Gemara doesn't give that. It's hard to know what Karen Tzavis means. Okay? What's the Yishalmi's answer to this question? How does Yishalmi solve Pesach Hachanus? Again, the problem is, the Mishnah says Pesach Hachanus is Pater. Pesach Hachanus requires Mechazeres. Mechazeres is Chayv, according to Rav. How would Rav explain the Yishalmi? Go on, this is one of the most colorful cases in old Bava Kama. What does Tosfos say in the name? You get to see the Yishalmi yet? No, so the Yishalmi yet. Okay, so I'll describe the Yishalmi before we get to the Rambam. Yishalmi says, you know the case of Pesach Hachanus being Chayev? Here's red. Is where the storefront, draw it again, and the animal walked by the storefront carrying a box of little sheep. So even though the donkey can only eat the fruit from the front of the store by Mechazeres, because he's walking as to turn, but the little goats that he's carrying, remember, we don't have this in our world, but they did, the little goats he's carrying can reach the fruit without Mechazeres. And since the little goats can eat the fruit without Mechazeres, therefore I define the area as because there's access to little goats on top of donkeys, then even for the donkey, it's considered a shesir. Let's see Tosus. That's Tosus's tune. That works to Tosus's strengths. Let's see Tosus, just so you should know the Yishalmi. Again, the Yishalmi is in Ukimta, but it just shows how problematic our Gemara is according to Tosus. Yishalmi's Ukimta makes a lot of sense. Again, you can talk about it, but we're not going to. Okay, let's see Tosus. Uvi Yishalmi, line number 6. Meshani hach pircha de mipesach hachanus. Aliva the Rav, Kigon Shahaya Chamor Ton Gedim. The donkey is carrying little sheep. Uvashas Amidasa, when the donkey stops, Pashtut Savarem Vachlu, they stretch their necks. Now let's see how Tosus makes sense of this. Ulafi read Tsarach Lomar, 5 lines from the bottom, Dechol Mashaha Gedim, Yichom Lagiv Olachol, any place the little sheep or little goats can reach without any strain, without any turning, Chashiv Ashesarabim, okay, is no Mechazer is necessary for the little sheep. That makes sense. We have one absolute ruler. If the sheep can access the food without mechazeres, then it's considered a shesarabim. Once it's a shesarabim, that pertains to the donkey as well. Because we're not Hillel talking about the action, we're talking about the ruler and mapping. And we'll use the ruler. Okay, why would you use the ruler based on the sheep, not based on the donkey? That's an interesting question. But once some animal can access, then it's a shesarabim. Once it's a shesarabim, I don't care whether the chamor who ate the food was mechazeres or not mechazeres. The fascinating question that the Chronim talk about is, what happens if you have a storefront that has fruit in front of the store that gedim on top of chamores can reach without turning? So it's a shesarabim for the gedim and for the chamor. What happens if on Tuesday you just send the chamor without gedim? Does a definition based on a chamor ton gedim affect even chamor that's not ton gedim? But for now, let's assume that it does, because it's all one mapping, and mappings are universal and absolute. And if on Monday we define this area as shesarabim, because Noam's going to bring his chamar with kedim, then on Tuesday the mapping will still obtain. We could distinguish. We could remap it every day, because these are very, very fungible areas. These are very flexible areas. But for now, let's assume the mapping is universal, as it sounds from Tosus. That if goats, a little sheep, can get it, oh, it's a shesarabim. Shesarabim for the goats on top of the donkey, it's a shesarabim for the donkey as well. That plays to Tosus' strength. Uniformity. Universalism. I define an area. What doesn't play to Tosus' strength is Karen Zavis. I just want you to see the tension in Karen Zavis, in Tosus. Yes, Adir.
I don't understand the problem with Karen Zavis. If we say that anytime there are some animals which can get it in a normal way.
I'm saying depending on which vector they were.
So why does it matter if it's going from the top to the bottom?
Okay, but that's all in the Yishalmi. You're importing the logic of Tosfos and Yishalmi into Tosfos even without the Gedim. Since some animals can access on the other side.
The Yishalmi fits very well into Tosfos, and that this is Tosfos'
okay. Logic. The difference would be, I'd be happy to apply the standards of Gedim to Chamor. I'm less happy to look at it from different angles. I'd look at... Because if this is my storefront, I'm going to look at animals coming this way because that's the part of the mavo I belong to. I don't belong to this mavo. So I ignore the fact that I'm being fed by a major highway. I'm just looking at my own space. My own space. Animals can only eat by mechazeres. Why shouldn't that be my space?
Okay.
I'm not saying Tosfos is difficult. I just want you to realize the tension in Tosfos that forced Rashi and now the Ramban to say what he says. Okay? Guys, listen up. Very little new in the Ramban, but all of a sudden we're going to ask Akasha that may blow our convention and force us into a new idea. Okay, so let's summarize. According to Rashi, if we combine all the Rashis, it sounds like Rav and Shmuel were arguing about this point. Rav says it's Karen, even Mechazeres. Shmuel says it's Shein versus Ayachid, only if the animal goes so far on the sidewalk, that's the only place we can map as Rishus HaYachid. Rav wasn't so radical. Rav was Karenizing. Shmuel was Shainizing, or Rishus HaYachid mapping. Okay. How does it become Rishus HaYachid in Rashi? We don't know. Tosvos gives us the language. Tosvos says accessibility renders it Rishus HaYachid. We have to define how much accessibility. For Rav, even if a slight irregularity is necessary to reach the perils, that's already Nizik territory. Was it going to Shmuel? Only if the animal has to relocate do I call it Nizik territory. Let's assume for right now that Rav and Shmuel are both arguing within the same convention of Tosfos. We don't have any information otherwise. We're going to go back to all these sugyos once we get to new paradigms. We're just going to wait for Gemaras to force us to break the paradigm. I don't want to give you, oh, here's a new way to view it, until we say, oh, this Gemara, we have to say something different. This Rishon, we have to. Oh, now that we've said something different on Thursday, let's go back to what we said on Monday. Say, maybe that's Rav and Shmuel. Maybe that's Ilfen of Hoshia. I'm trying to teach you methodology. I was speaking to the Ida Crown guys last night. I remember one of the first Chaburas I gave for Rav Aaron. I've said this all year to you. So I came in, I said, you can view Migo five ways and view Chazaka five ways, and I gave 100 different options. And Rav Aaron critiqued me and said, that's not the way you learn a sugya. You develop an idea, and you work with that idea until you can no longer accept that paradigm because you come to a problem that you have to solve. Necessity is the mother of lumbus. Then you break the paradigm because you have a problem. Otherwise, you'll be lost in space, raising ideas, not knowing whether they're necessary. I always told you, take an idea. I was telling the boys last night, one of the most interesting books I ever read that helped me understand lumbus is a book called The Structure of Scientific Revolution. It was written by a professor at the University of Chicago. That's what made me think about it last night, called Thomas Kuhn. It's a book written in the 50s about how science changes. Okay, so for example, for hundreds of years, thousands of people thought the world was flat. And whenever new information came in, they gave Tirutzim to explain it based on the paradigm. At a certain point, they got so much information that the world wasn't flat that they changed the paradigm because they couldn't give Tirutzim anymore, Copernicus. At that point, the paradigm shifts. That's why Brisk is so scientific. You take an idea, you develop it, and you don't change it until you have to. Reb Chaim was a master in raising this up. This problem can't be solved by any other existing category. I'm going to create a new category, a new concept. So we're learning the easy sugyas now. The sugyas that would easily explain based on our two models. We'll see if we may have a problem in a few minutes. But we're going to develop some new ideas in the future. I'm going to go back and say, well, maybe that was part of Rav and Shmuel. But for today, Rav and Shmuel are operating with the same conceptual model. How do I map Sidur Rishus HaRabban, Sidur Rechava? How do I map it? Rav and Shmuel just have different orientations. Rav is more Nizik-oriented. Shmuel is more Mazik-oriented. The problem in Tosfos is, how do you jump from Sidur Rechava to storefronts? And how do you solve Karen Zavis? That's what forced the Ramban into his Shita. And in his Shita, Rav and Shmuel are just a review, a rehearsal of, not a rehearsal, but a recycling of which machlokas? Of Rav Hoshea. Whatever Ilfa says is what Rav said. Rav Hoshea said is what Shmuel said. Which is, again, not a problem. Especially if Rav and Shmuel are explaining the Mishnah by Tzidur Rechava, and Ilfa and Rav Hoshea are saying standalone questions. Rav and Shmuel took the logic that Ilfa and Rav Hoshea took. Ilfa and Rav Hoshea are talking about new conceptualizations. Rav and Shmuel were explaining Tzidur Rechava. But it's the same logic. Namely, who holds, again, this is a big chiddush, if you weren't here on Friday, time to wake up. This is a big chiddush. Who holds that you don't need to be in Rishus HaYachid to be chayiv? A break with what we've said before. You don't need to be in Rishus HaYachid to be chayiv. You can be in Rishus HaRabim as long as it's not hyper or chayir chayiv. Who held that on Daf Chaf? Who held that on Daf Chaf Aleph? Ilfa had it on Daf Chaf. That stretching your neck for the back of another animal is an irregularity. It breaks hyper-urche and it breaks the Torah. You're still in Rosh Hashanah, but you're chayiv because it's not hyper-orchay. Till now, Natan, we've been trying to rezone certain spaces as pseudo Rosh Hashanah. Sidewalks, backs of animals, storefronts. Maybe Rav is saying, I don't need to redefine the areas of Shusha Yachid. It could be a classic Rosh Hashanah. But you know what it isn't? It isn't this. So on Friday, Ilfa said, it isn't this, it's Rosh Hashanah when the animal stretches its neck to the back of another animal. Rav says, not only neck stretching, even body turning. Let's assume right now that Rav and Ilfa are identical, not just analogous. We can differentiate between them, but for now, let's assume they're identical. So both Rav and Ilfa didn't feel pressure to re-landscape Rosh Hashanah to create a chiv. You could be situated in classic Rosh Hashanah and still be chayiv, because it's not hyper-orchei. Whereas, for some reason, both Rav Hoshaya and Shmuel require the animal to physically leave the Rosh Hashanah and move to Rosh Hashanah. Listen carefully. The spacing is not the issue between Rav and Shmuel. We're not talking about whether the food is closer or further. According to Rav, the animal turns its body to take food from Sidi Rechava, your chayiv. According to Shmuel, it can't turn its body. It has to actually jump up or leave, but it can still be 2 inches off of Rosh Hashanah. Shmuel's food is not more recessed than Rav's food, as it was according to Tosfos. The food is in the same space. Let me draw it here. I'm going to erase some of this. The food is in the same is in the same space. This is Rosh Hashanah. This is Tzidei Rechava. The food is right here. The animal is moving through Rosh Hashanah. It's an aerial view. According to Rav, the animal turns and eats. According to Shmuel, the animal has to actually go to Rosh Hashanah and eat. It's not how far the food is recessed or not. The food is in the same area. According to Tosfos, Rav's food is closer to Rosh Hashanah than Yuchayev. Shmuel says the only food Yuchayev is food that's further in because my ruler is different. I use a different ruler. According to the Ramban, the food's in the same space. This is the food. Right? This is the food. The food is in the same space. According to Rav, it's enough for an animal to be physically in Rosh Hashanah, but turning its body in awkward ways, it's not Derech Yilucha and Orche, so you could be Chayev even on an animal in Rosh Hashanah. Whereas according to Shmuel, presumably, for now, the Chayev of Rosh Hashayachit and Rosh Hashanah is formal. It's not about Orche. Shmuel rejects the Rif. And for Shmuel, the only way to be chayiv is not to be non-orchei in Rosh Hashanah, but to be physically in Rosh Hashanah. And that's what, we'll read in a second, I'll answer your question in one moment. That's what Rav Hoshaya said on Friday. Kofetzus doesn't just mean leaping up, but kofetzus means leaping onto the back of another animal, leaping onto Itztaba. Doesn't mean leaping up, doesn't mean jumping, it means leaping onto something else, which makes Rav Hoshaya identical, at least more or less identical, to Shmuel. Yes, Alex.
Well, then the key, if the case of the Ramban is, then if, say that we held that with Rabbi Yochanan's definition of Tinfah Peru, and the Rabbi never left Rosh Hashanah in any sense.
Good question. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. But I'll ask you to ask that question more locally. Don't go to Tin for Paris. Go to something local. We'll get to it. Okay? Let's read the Ramban. Let's talk about how the Ramban would solve Karen Zavis. Hint, hint, it's really easy. Sidur Chava, Pesachan, it's really easy. And then we'll ask a question which may force us to change our paradigm. Okay, why is everyone so tired? Was there an event last night? Or I'm just boring today. Everyone's falling asleep. Okay. Let's see the Ramban. The same Ramban we read on Friday. Excuse me. Same Ramban we read on Friday. Let's just read the Ramban, 2 lines. And then we'll talk about Karen Zavis. Then we'll ask a question. Maybe we'll give an answer, maybe not, and then I'll stop. Okay. Ramban is on page Ches in the Rif, Daf Ches and Aleph in the Rif. Ilfa Savar. Di'af Olgav de lo kafza, there's no kfitza, there's no relocation. Chayeves, Hoel upashtet savara. You have neck stretching on Daf Chav. V'hu adin li ocheles mitzad harachava. Who's that? Ocheles mitzad harachava. What's that a nickname for? Hu adin ocheles mitzad harachava. What do we call that in Chaf Aleph? Ocheles mitzad harachava? Mechazares. Here's the Ramban linking Ilfa and Rav. Hu adin ocheles mitzad haragava. We call that mechazaris. So Ulfa and Rav are the same. Hu adin ocheles mitzad haragava makum gavoa. Why? Not because it's Rosh Hashayachid. It's still Rosh Hasharabim. She'ein ze she'ein shepatratar. Lefi, most animals eat while they're walking. Ein darka lechol ela lahaloch v'lechol derechilucha me'emza Rosh Hasharabim mimakum namach. She'ocheles mimenu. Okay, you say it differently. On Daf Chaf, this will help you. The irregularity that ruins hyperurche is vertical. On Daf Chaf Aleph, the irregularity that ruins hyperurche is horizontal. Right? On Friday, it wasn't makom namach. It was back of an animal, a kupa. Today, it's not hyperurche because it's on the side. Just to help you conceptualize it. It's the same thing. What difference does it make if it's not hyperurche because it's higher than normal, or it's not hyperurche because it's not in the animal's vector? This is what is urche. Again, remember, what's urche? Makom namach, derech hiluch. On Friday, this wasn't urche. Today, this is an urche. You turn to the side. Same thing. It's not urche, it's not pater. That's Rav. That's Ilfa. That's the riff. The radicalized riff. Now, what does Shmuel and Rav Hoshea say? So if you asked me, I would moderate the machlokas. I held still orche. And then that radical orche. You know what orche is? Anything normal and expect. It doesn't have to be makom namoch without any change. That's what I would have said. But Shmuel's language on Daf Chavalik convinced the Ramban that not only was Shmuel categorically different from Rav, but Rav Hoshea was categorically different from Ilfa. Because what's Shmuel's language on Daf Chaf Aleph? What language hits the Ramban? This is how the Ramban reads Chaf. Shmuel Amar, Deshavkasa, L'Rechava, the Azla, the Kama, B'tzid HaRechava. I'm going to use the Targum language, but hopefully it will make you understand the Sugya. Shmuel's language does not sound like a ruler. Doesn't sound like Shmuel's just telling us the distance. He's telling us the scenario, what happened. The animal actually leaves. The shafkasel rechava. According to Tosfos, shafkasel rechava means, oh, the food was so far out that the animal had to go. Let's say the animal has a special magnet and it can magnetize the food from far in, embedded in Tzidah rechava and get it in. It won't make a difference. He'd be chayef. Because the food was embedded close enough to Rosh Hashayachet to be Rosh Hashayachet. Whereas according to the Ramban, no. The only scenario in which your chayiv is if the animal goes out of Rosh Hasharabim into Rosh Hashanah. The shavka sel rechava, the kama b'tzid rechava. You need animals in Rosh Hashayachet. That is Rav Hoshea. That is Shmuel. Backward, that is Shmuel. That's Rav Hoshea. And Kofetzis has to be jumping on top of the other animal. Let's read the Ramban. Rav Hoshea savar, davka kofetzis. The fish in istalka, Mirsha Sarabim, Lagamri, Vidamya, Laman Deshavka Sel Rechava, Viachla, Bitsid Herechava. Shmuel and Rav say Machlokas Ilfa Nerv Hashaya. Or Machlokas Shmuel and Rav and Ilfa Nerv Hashaya is how to understand the Pturisha Sarabim. Ilfa and Rav held as Orche. If you break Orche, you can be Chayiv even in Risha Sarabim. Agav Chavrata or Mechazaris. Shmuel held it's formal. You need to actually have the animal in Rosh Hashayachid. Animal in Rosh Hashayachid is only in by Shafkasa, Bekama B'tzid HaRechava, or Kafsal Gav Chavrata. Okay, Alex, what's our question on the Ramban? But don't go back to Daf Gimel. Stay in our Sugya. I just told you that according to Shmuel / Rav Hoshea, the animal has to be physically in Rosh Hashayachid. And that's why Shmuel's version of Tzid HaRechava is Shafkasa Bekama B'Tzid HaRechava. What's the kasha? Do we have any case where an animal is chayiv, even if it isn't physically in Rosh Hashayachid? Don't go to Daf Gimel, because we don't know where the urination took place. You're giving me a conceptual idea, we urinated Rosh Hashayachid and it flew to Rosh Hashayachid. That's like Tzoros. Do you have any case where an animal is chayiv, even though it doesn't seem to be in Rishus Hanizik, Yishai? Nope. It's pater. Problem was in Rav, why is it pater if it's mechazeres? But you're really close. Warm. Come on. No. Yisha, I know, just say it. Pesach HaChanos is pater. Oh, Rav. Okay, we solved Rav. But I got a bigger kasha. Why is Toch HaChanos chayiv according to the Ramban? According to Tosfos, we know why Toch HaChanos is chayiv, because it's all a question of zoning. And anyway, if you can zone part of Tzidur Rechava as Rosh Hashayachid, you can certainly zone Toch HaChanos. What area do you recall? Tosfos never had the requirement that the animal be in Rosh Hashayachid. But the Ramban had the requirement the animal should be in Rosh Hashayachid. That's why Shmuel forces the animal to actually move to Tzidur Rechava. That's why Rav Shaya forces the animal to actually jump on another animal. The Mishnah says, Pesach HaChanos is pater, Toch HaChanos is chayiv, Yitessim and Beis. The whole hullabaloo is how we explain Pesach HaChanos going to Rav, after all, to Bechazara, so we gave it to Karen Zavis. How would the Ramban explain Toch HaChanos? Does it mean the animal actually entered the store? Or can the Ramban's requirement that the animal not be in Rosh HaSarabim but be in Rosh HaSayachit only apply to anyone? Don't give me the svar, just give me the logic. Give me the entry. Only to pseudo Rosh HaSayachits, like Tzidur Rechava or backs of animals. Can I create a world in the Ramban where there are two tracks? When the food was eaten from Rosh HaSayachid Mamish, I don't care where the animal is. When the food was eaten by one of these pseudo Rosh HaSayachids, backs of animals, sidewalks, then I need the animal to actually be on the sidewalk, Shmuel, or in the back of the animal, Rav Shaya. That's what many want to say in the Ramban. The question is why? Two tracks. How do you explain two tracks? Once I call back of an animal Rosh HaSayachid, or a sidewalk Rosh HaSayachid, because I've zoned it that way, temporarily, let's say, why don't I need the animal to be there? If I don't need the animal to be in the store when it takes from the store, or in my Rosh HaSayachid when it takes in my Rosh HaSayachid, then why do I need the animal to be on the back of an animal or on the sidewalk, according to Shmuel and Rav Shaya? So I'm going to talk about this in two shiur after we get to Mekatzeh Makom. But I'm going to start teasing your mind right now. Let's assume that the chiyuv, again, we're in Shmuel now, not in Rav. Rav is Mr. Riff. I don't care where you are, Orche is Pater, non-Orche is Chayiv. But now we're in Shmuel. Hillel, obviously Shmuel cares about where you are, and Rosh HaSayachid, that's Shmuel's issue. This is what I'm going to leave you with. I'll tease it. I'll just give you an explanation. We're going to get back to it Thursday, Friday, next week. This is going to be one of our main paradigm shifts. I want you to start thinking about it in the sugyos. When the Torah describes the classic case of the Shilach es Be'iro, Ubir b'steach, the animal moves in and eats the food. Is the Torah describing a nezek that occurs within a location? This location is chayev, this location is pater, the food in here. Or, he's black, is this the chiyuv? The chiyuv is not the eating. The chiyuv is not the e. I'll give you another word, another letter. Your animal invaded my field. Now, if your animal invades my field and takes some selfies, okay, it was invasion, but really no payment. It has to be eating for there to be pain. The mechayev is not the eating. Mechayev is the invasion of my private space. That's a different way to parse the difference between shesha yachid. One way is where it happened. Another way is it's all just orche, the riff. The other way is to say, you know what, the mechayev is invasion. The Ram is no invasion, nothing to talk about. Oh, the mechayev is invasion? Maybe I can differentiate different scenarios of invasion. When an animal takes food from my bedroom, that's an invasion regardless of where the animal's standing. Sticking its neck into my bedroom while its body is on the outside, taking it from my private chambers, my private store, that's an invasion. I don't care where the animal is. Because my items were secured in my most safe and private area, and your animal took it from my area. I don't care where the animal's body is. When the food is taken from these pseudo areas, such as backs of animals, and not really an invasion unless the animal completely attacks. Like between attacking a country and attacking an army outpost. If you attack a country, I don't care where your soldiers are, you have to attack the country. If you attack an army outpost, only if the soldiers actually enter the outpost. Is that, there's only one way to solve the Ramban. There are many, many ways to solve the Ramban. So I'm not saying, oh, this is the Ramban. It's more of a leading question. How could you create a system? We're going to constantly go back to this Ramban. How could you create a system where you need animals to be on backs or on sidewalks, but you don't need them to be in storefronts or in Rishus HaYachids? That's the question we're going to tackle. But we need more information. It's just, we don't know. It's a question in the Ramban. I could say three other svaras, right? I don't know. Let's go on. Let's talk about tomorrow, another pseudo area. Tomorrow's area is a place where people have rights but no ownership. It's called Mekatze Makom. I invite people to walk through my area, but it's not really Rishus HaRabim. It's not really Rishus HaYachid. How do we define that? Rights or legal ownership? So now we're not talking about utility and boundary lines. We're talking about, do I look at it from the perspective of the people or from the legal perspective? It's going to be tomorrow, Sukkah. Then we'll move back to the big break, which is going to be on Thursday, Misgalgil. Misgalgil is a scenario the Gemara discusses on Chaf, which we skipped, which is going to lead to two or three different mitzvahs. We showed them different what Misgalgil is, but we're going to start contrasting where the animal is, where the fruit is. And that will help us understand this better. So I tried to create continuity between zones, between Ilfa and Rav Hoshaya, between Rav and Shmuel. Obviously, the Ramban connects them. You can't learn those sugyas as separate. And now between Mekatze Makom, which is the second version of Rav and Shmuel. And then we'll go back to Daf Chaf towards the end of the week. Okay? So this is part two of zoning. Part three of zoning will be tomorrow. Rav and Shmuel, second version, Mekatze Makom. Okay? According to the first day, Mekatze Makom. The second day is Bor. We're not going to talk about Bor that much. Yes, Azari.
So we're saying it's about invasion. Are we saying the eating is then just a quantification of the invasion?
Is an intensification of the invasion.
Okay.
Okay?
Got it.
Okay. Let's stop here. Makaros, print out a mitzvah Hashem. Again, tomorrow's show will be much of the same. We'll spin it through different ideas. And then a mitzvah Hashem, we're going to break out to space of animal versus where the item is. And that's going to change our paradigm. Anyway, nothing really is going to force us to change the paradigm. So maybe a little bit. But once we get to the second part of this sugyos, we may go back to somebody's, oh, now that we have a new paradigm, we have five paradigms, or Shaseach, or Shaseach. And we'll see how those paradigms can be worked back into Rav and Shmuel. Okay? Okay, stop here, guys. I'll see you up in the basement. Let me get the Makaros after you.